Good morning. As we're looking at our story and God's story, we're going to listen this morning, and I'm sure James is going to elaborate, on the parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," which is in chapter 6. "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. To the one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And I hope we'll all be like that person.
We're beginning a series of messages that are going to go through for 6 months, and we're really focusing on God's story and our story. And it's about the whole aspect of story, how stories are something that really communicate truth in very simple and easy ways. It's not like a complicated theological argument that we need to develop. It's a story that just illustrates something in a simple way that just grabs us. And Jesus, as it says at the beginning of this passage, told them many things in parables. He just used simple, everyday illustrations of things to illustrate a point about the kingdom, a point about God, a point about the way they should be behaving or not behaving. And we want to talk a lot over these next 6 months about how we too can learn to use our story, God's story, the story of others, to be able to share simple truths about God to the people around about us in a way that is not confronting and not necessarily disarming, but just something natural. And so we'll be talking a lot about that over the coming months as we look at the different stories that Jesus told and see how they can speak to us, and also think about how we may be able to use our own contemporary stories to illustrate stuff, to encourage one another, to illustrate God to one another, but also to share our faith with those around about us in the different contexts that we meet people. Now, one of the things that I had a privilege to do when I was working for Queensland Baptist was to be the Queensland representative of Crossover Australia, which was the group, a national group of people who came from all the states to work at developing resources to help people to share their faith more effectively in our Baptist churches and to produce resources for that. And one of the people I had a privilege of working with in that we brought to Australia and took around to a number of places, different states, and did pastors' conferences and things, was a guy called Dennis Pethers. And Dennis has a really interesting story, and I'm going to show you a little video clip of Dennis, just telling how he came to faith. It's very short, but I just want you to sort of meet Dennis, because I'm going to talk a little bit about something that he's produced after we look at this little video clip.
It was here, in London, that I decided to put my faith in Jesus. To be honest, I'd never been to church in my life before, but one day my boss came into work, handed me a book and said, "Why don't you read this?" I looked at the book. It was called Mere Christianity. It was written by a man called C.S. Lewis. My first thought was, oh no, my boss has got religion. He's trying to convert me. I had no intention of reading the book, but I suppose I did because I thought, well, here's my boss after all. As I read the book, it changed everything I believed. I'd always thought, I'm not religious. But as I read, it slowly dawned on me that it took more faith to believe in nothing, that I and every living thing was the result of some cosmic accident, and to believe in something, a superior being, God, who made everything for a purpose. As I read on, I began to find out about Jesus. I'd always thought, he's not for me. I had this image of a guy with blonde hair and blue eyes, wings on his sandals. But as I read the truth about him, I was impressed by his courage, by his compassion, by his commitment. I was really moved by the way that he was prepared to lay down his life for others. For me, I began to realise that faith in Jesus wasn't about being religious. It was about asking God to be involved in my life. So I decided to do something about all of this. I said, God, here's my life. Do what you want with it. There was no blinding flash of light, but somehow, inside, I just knew I'd done the most important thing I was ever going to do.
Dennis is just an ordinary, everyday bloke who never thought of himself as someone who would have anything to do with church or religion at all. And God breaks into his life. Dennis is good soil. When God broke into Dennis's life, he latched onto it. He really made an effort to understand what it meant to commit his life to Jesus. And God's taken him and used him over the years to become a significant minister who goes around and shares simple truths about how to share faith with people all over the world and has helped many, many people become natural in their sharing of faith and also many, many people come to faith. I'm going to offer over to our home groups this year a little video course for 6 weeks or 7 weeks that Dennis has produced. And I will come to the group and run that course for 6 or 7 weeks. Dennis has given me his materials and given me permission to do that. You could do it yourselves, but I would also like to come to the group so I get to know a lot of you a lot better and spend some time in the groups. Now, I want to come back to this parable, this story that Jesus told. And it's an interesting one, and I've probably preached on it many times, and you've probably heard lots of sermons on it too. In actual fact, it's not a parable about the sower, it's a parable about the soils, what sort of soil the seed lands in. And firstly, I want to think about, as we think about people and situations where we could be involved and invest our time, share our stories, share our testimony, talk to people about God, where is the place where the soil is going to be most effective to receive that? Now, if I'm a sower, if I'm a person who's got a limited little bag of seed, and I'm going to get the best crop I possibly can, and I've got a little field, and if you think about what it was like, those people probably had a field that was about the size of an average house block in those days. That was their subsistence sort of farming thing. They grew enough for themselves and a bit to sell, and kept some for next year to plant. And so I'm not in a huge area, and it's not exactly a fertile river flat most of the times. It was soil they had to work hard to get good, and so there were some rocky patches, and this is pretty typical of what they would have seen every day, and Jesus tells this story. And they would be thinking, well, if I'm that farmer and I've got that precious seed, I'm not just going to go spreading it all over everything. I'm going to be careful to try and get as much on the good soil as I can. You know, I don't want to waste too much of it on the path, on the rocks, and so on. I'm going to try and get as much of it on the good soil as I can. So if we think about that, and we've got our seed, the Word of God within us, and the capacity to share that with others, where is the most prepared, the most fertile soil for us to invest most of our time and effort and thought and prayer as to where we could be most effective in getting a good crop from the truth that we've got to share? So I want you to think, that's the first thing. Where is your most productive soil to sow the truth that God has given you into the people around you? Where are the people you've already got a relationship with? Where are the opportunities where you know there are people who would be receptive to that? And so on. Now, I don't exclude the fact that God works amongst people in amazing ways. Dennis probably was the sort of person, and he says this himself, I was the least likely person to become a Christian. So he was probably a rock. But when the soil, something about when that seed landed there, it just broke open and God did something amazing. But essentially, the principle is we would want to invest most in where the soil is best prepared. Now, you could think about that yourself as an individual, or you could think about that for us, Kiwanis Life, as a church. Now, where would be some of the places that Kiwanis Life has spent a lot of time preparing the soil? Someone? What sort of? The surf club, yep. Donnie and others, they're investing a lot of time there, building relationships, trust and credibility. That's good prepared soil. The schools, mainly music. Schools, we've been going into the schools with RE and we've got good relationships with teachers. Many families know people here who've done that, so there's prepared places that we can connect with. Mainly music, fantastic. We have all those families who come into this space. In fact, I would almost not be stretching it too much to say we have a congregation of Kiwanis Life that meets here on a Monday morning. They come, they participate in some community, they sing, they dance, and there's some God songs and words, and there's encouragement and prayer for some of them when there's needs. It's already three quarters of the way there to being a faith community, part of Kiwanis Life. And many of the women and dads, mums and dads who come along to that group, some belong to other churches, but many of them are well and truly on a faith journey, really open to have continuing conversations, to be prayed for and so on. And I hope you pray for our people who serve in that ministry, and always we meet beforehand and pray and ask God to give us opportunities to meet a need, to share with someone, to have a meaningful conversation, to just serve them in a way that reflects Jesus. What else? There's more. Bread ministry. Many of you have probably never been here on a Tuesday night to see the group of people who meet out there at the door, eagerly waiting for the door to open as we put out all the bread that we get and some other food that we've got now. And they come in and they are so appreciative of that. Some of you come and get stuff and distribute it to others. And the fact that you're taking it to those others means there's some people who's prepared soil. They're already open to a relationship, they're being served, and they're aware of that. We have wonderful opportunities, and I believe that God is going to help us grow into more and more of that, and to be able to not just sow the seeds, but see a crop, see a return from that, many people. Now that's thinking about it in terms of us having something to give out and share God's word with people. I want to flip it around in a minute and look at it and say, what sort of soil am I? What sort of soil are you? And as Jesus told this, he was speaking to the religious people, to the Jews, who were, in a sense, believing that they were God's people. And God, he's saying, well, in a sense, you might be as a race, but individually, you don't all actually get it. You don't all want to be part of God's kingdom. You don't all want to serve God in the way that he wants you to. And there are various responses. So God puts his word out to us all, and you're all here today, hearing something of God's word and different stories and things that are impacting you. And what is your heart? What sort of soil is your heart, your spirit? Is it receiving that? Is it understanding it? Is it wanting to live it? Is it wanting to be it? Is it wanting to share it? Is it wanting to be producing the crop of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? Or is it, yeah, I've heard it all before, been there, done that, pretty much. Just turn up because it's a nice place to be. You know, where are we at? Where is our place? And I can't answer that for you, but I can answer it for me. I would like to be the fertile soil. Sometimes I'm amongst the thorns, choked out by the worries of this world. What does it say down here? Jesus said, some fall among the thorns, hear the word, and the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So a part of me is like that. I get worried about where money's going to come from to pay the bills. I get worried about things that have to be maintained on the house and the car and things like that. And I get worried about all the worldly things. And so it chokes out some of the time and effort and things that I could be spending in ways that have eternal kingdom productive outcomes. Now, sure, I have to be responsible for those things, but I don't have to worry about them and let them choke out my focus on what God is wanting for me. I don't think I've ever been the rocky path. I grew up in a Christian family, knew the stories of Jesus from a very young age, believed the stories of Jesus and the whole truth of God's word from a very young age, made numerous commitments as I grew up that I wanted to be a Christian, I wanted to live for God. But I reached an age of about 16, and at our church, which was a Baptist church, we had a youth group, and there was probably about 8 or 9 of us in that group, and it was a Christian Endeavour group, which was an old thing that used to happen. Some of you would remember that, which was teaching you the Bible and stuff like that. And they said, you guys are old enough that you should be making a decision about whether you want to be baptised. And so we're going to run some classes, some baptismal classes for you. And so for about 6 or 8 weeks, they ran all these classes on baptism. And we all went through them, we all went to it. And then in the last one, the obvious thing was, and now you're going to be baptised. And most of them said, yeah. But it made me think. It made me think about my own true faith. I had a family faith. I sort of knew the truth, but I didn't really know God in a personal way. And I remember at that stage looking around church thinking, and this is in my very judgmental way, that person has an amazing faith. They live it every day. That person just knows Jesus in a way that just I don't, you know. That person is just so humble. That person just is the epitome of what I think a good Christian should be. And then looking around and saying, that guy, he's a total hypocrite. Comes here on Sunday, acts all holy, and then I know at work he screws over all his employees. He's horrible. I don't want to be like him. That person, she doesn't believe what she says. It's all nice talk. But underneath, I know she's a gossip. She's always complaining about people. She doesn't respect anybody. She's pulling people down. I don't want to be that sort of Christian. And so I remember saying to God, I can't deny that these people have got something amazing that I want, and my parents were like that. But I also can't deny that there's a whole lot of people who I don't know that they really are Christians, and I certainly don't want to be that. So if you're really real, really real, can I have that good sort of relationship with you? I don't want to be a hypocrite. And if I invest a bit of time in seeing whether this will happen, then I'll follow you if it's true. And if not, then I'm going to walk away and maybe do something else with my life. And over a period of months, because I said no to the baptism, my friends got baptised. My parents were disappointed. Couldn't understand why I didn't want to be baptised at that point in time. Over a period of time of reading my Bible every day, asking God to speak to me, trying to pray about everything that was happening in my life, not just for a few minutes in the morning, but as a sort of day through the day thing, I didn't notice anything at first. Then, and it took quite a while. But after about 3 months in, it just dawned on me. Every time I read the Bible, something really speaks into my life and directs what I'm going to do for that day. Every time I pray about something, God gives me fresh and new thoughts about things, and I understand something I should be doing, something I shouldn't be doing. And when I'm asking God to help me, He's helping me. I'm doing that stuff. I'm not. And I began to recognize God's voice speaking to me. Recognize that I actually had a relationship with God that was intimate and real, not just a knowledge that I knew about Him. And so that was my conversion. I didn't have a story like Dennis and many people who says, you know, this at this point in life I was terrible, and that point in life God touched me and some amazing thing happened, and now I'm, you know, totally turned around and transformed. It was a gradual transformation from a family faith and belief to an intimate relationship with God that was my own personal relationship. And whilst I've been up and down over the years, I'll never look back from that. One other thing significantly changed me, and some of you may struggle with this, and I, as a good evangelical Christian, believe that when I was baptized, like when I came into that intimate relationship with God, I had all of God within me, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and there was nothing more that I could need or want. And for a number of years, God used me, and I did step out of my comfort zone and serve Him in many different ways. But there came a point in our life when Heather and I were separated spiritually, in the sense that she had an experience of what you might want to call baptism in the Spirit. God, by His Spirit, touched her in a fresh and new way and changed her significantly. And I could see for her that was really real, but in my own intellectualism I had real resistance to that, saying, no, there is no second blessing. There's nothing more. I've got the lot. I don't need to chase after anything else. You know, this is all just an emotional experience. You don't need that. I don't need that. It caused some tension between us for a number of years. Obviously, this is many years after I was baptized and converted in my own personal, real way. And then once, it's a long story, but I'll tell you the short story. Once I was at a meeting with her where people were sharing their experience of this, and I knew at the end of it people would get prayed for, that they would have a deeper experience of God's Spirit. You might want to call it baptism in the Spirit or a further release of God's Spirit in your life. I don't want to get hung up on terms. And I'm sitting in that meeting the whole thing, listening to his sermon and spelling it all out from the Bible, and I'm using the same passages in my mind saying, yes, but, you know, there's another way of explaining that. You know, this is all just emotion. I don't need this. And when he finished, he gave an appeal for people who wanted more of God's Spirit. And at that point, God said, I've got more for you, and you don't want it. And instantly I was up out of my seat and down the aisle, and it was an old picture theatre. So there was a stage about this high, and so I come down, I stand at the front, and I'm about three deep of lots of people coming forward, not knowing really why I was there other than I wanted what God had for me. The guy who was preaching, he stood there and he said, now I'm going to pray for people. And here's me, head and shoulders above most people, standing about three deep, thinking I'm just in the midst of that. And he reaches off the stage, puts his hand on my head and starts praying for me, first person. Me, the cynic. And the moment he started praying for me, I started just pouring my heart out to God. And before I realized it, I was actually praying in tongues to Jesus. That's always been, now, for the rest of my time since then, a personal gift, not a public gift. It's a thing that God gave me to pray when I don't know how to pray. But it's been something that's most powerful in my life and helped me. But the other thing that happened was, it was almost like a personality change. As an introvert, as someone who's always been struggling with lots of stuff, God gave me a new boldness, made me less afraid of stepping out in front of people to do the stuff that He wanted me to do. And so I knew that God, by His Spirit, had done something very special, very significant in my life. Now, I don't always live up to that, and I do at times not, you know, I guess, honour God in what He's given me, but I strive towards that. I want to be that good soil. I want to produce a crop 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And I want everything that God's got to give me to enable me to do that. I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward for baptism in the Spirit this morning at all. I'm not into putting any pressure on people at all. But are you wanting to be the best soil that you can be? Are you willing to read your Bible every day, pray constantly that God would work in and through you, that the truth that you hear would become real to you, that you would be able to live that in its fullness? And if God's got more of his Holy Spirit to give you, you'd be open to that, and you'd want that, you'd seek after that. You want to live in the power that God's given you. And Jesus said, go and make disciples, teach them everything I've commanded you, or to obey everything I've commanded you. It wasn't just to teach them, it was to teach them to obey. You want to be good soil to obey the stuff that God's taught you and given you? I want that. I want more of that. And as we go on this journey about our story and God's story, I want us to have opportunity to hear how God's been at work in lots of your lives, with one another, sharing stories. And if you've got want to share your story of how you came to faith, you want to share your story of how God used you in some way during the week, and you had an opportunity or anything that God's done, something that really would encourage us. Because it's not just our own story we have to share with others, it's the story of others that we know that will be powerful in helping us to communicate the gospel to those around about us. So you've heard a little bit about my story. I want to hear more of your stories over these next few weeks. If you would like to share your story as part of a service, we'd love you to do that. Some of you are going to be surprised that I'll tap you on the shoulder and say, would you? because we'd like to hear more of that story and be encouraged by that. And I want to pray that Kiwanis Life and each of us become really fertile soil this year, that we will grow and produce a crop. Jesus said, fields are white under harvest. They're ready. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the field. Are we willing to be those workers? Are we willing to be the prepared soil, the people who understand it, believe it, and want to live it and act it? And we don't have to do it in our own strength. God takes our offerings, and he's the one who actually brings the conviction to people's lives. So I think we're on the cusp of some really great stuff that God is doing, in and through all of our ministries, in and through all of your lives. Well, I want to ask you this one question this morning. What kind of soil are you? When you read that little list that Jesus gave, sitting there right now, what kind of soil are you? And now I want to ask you, what kind of soil do you want to be? And if you want to be different, you have to do something about it. You can't stay the same. You've got to take some steps of faith. You've got to put it out there. You've got to commit to be different. You've got to commit to working towards that understanding, that living, and so on. And so this morning, after while we do our final song, if you want to be different, or if you want to be even more powerful in the sort of soil you believe you are now, then I'd love to pray with you. But it doesn't have to be me. Someone else, you could pray for each other as a couple. Lord, we want to be really fertile soil this year. You know, we might have been in the past, but we've drifted away, and now we're just, there's a whole lot of weeds growing up and we need to get rid of them. What kind of soil do you want to be this year? Lord, I thank you that you're at work in every one of our lives. I thank you, Jesus, that you've given us everything we need, the truth, the empowerment, your spirit, to live and be fertile soil. And I pray that you would work in and through our lives today, that we would be further enriched by your fertilizer to become soil that can produce a really good crop. And we ask this in the might and power of your name. Amen.